And once again, on our Bible study devotion tonight, it will be on the Way of Victory, the lesson from Brother David Gray that he wrote many, many years ago. It's called The Way of Victory, and the sub-theme today is going to be a church home, the importance of having a church home. And what better teacher to teach that tonight than Brother Sean Thaler? He just taught us a lesson yesterday morning, but he has such a great way of expounding and conveying the Word of God. We look forward to it. Brother Sean Thaler, go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Brother Vic, for those kind words. I just want to say that this is a privilege to be able to speak again. I know I just talked on Sunday morning, and I guess I'm double dipping within the past 2 days, so I count it an honor to be able to address the church and speak on such an imperative and important topic, such as the importance of finding a church home and being able to call a church your own home. When you start changing from talking as if saying, I'm going to a church, to say I'm going to my church, or this is my church, this is my pastor, this is these are my brothers and sisters in Christ from my local church. It's an important step and transition that you have to make. And so I feel honored to be able to speak about this tonight. So, like Brother Vic was saying, we're making our way through the Way of Victory Bible study, a really great Bible study that is very simple and concise. And, we're just kind of expounding upon it. And it's really important for new converts to get through with some of these topics. Even though that, you could say these are mainly for newer converts, it's always good for those of us that are been in church for a while to have a little bit of a reminder of some of these subjects. I've been going, and teaching a Bible study with Danny, or some of you may know him as Dr. Vu, and I think he's actually on the call tonight, but we've been going through a Bible study, and there's so many things that I remember studying and going through when I was a new convert and studying up on. And every time I'm studying up on a new subject, making some notes for a Bible study, I'm finding myself just learning new things every time, and going down little rabbit holes in the Word of God, and just seeing how amazing and the depth of the Word of God. And there's no end to it. Even just a subject such as this, there's so much more as I got into this. There's general scriptures that everyone can all quote off the top of their head if you've been in church in any length of time about, why you need to have a church home and different things of why we need to go to church regularly. You can quote those scriptures on the top of your head. But, as I started to dig into this subject a little bit more, I started to just get so excited because it's just so interesting. Just so many facets, and I'm going to try to bring out some of those new aspects, nothing new, but I'm going to bring out some aspects that I found very interesting as I started to get into this. But, this is mainly for new converts, and just to demonstrate the importance of having that church home. So, this is for those that are seeking the Holy Ghost, or, may have already had the Holy Ghost, and got baptized and whatnot, and are just getting in. But, again, this is going to be a reminder for some of us that have been in church for a little bit, too. So I hope I can bring out something new for those that are new converts, and say something that will help them. And then also with those that have been in church for a while, and maybe I can bring out something that you may not have thought about. And, because certainly some of the things that I started studying, I didn't even put two and two together, and I think this is, I really enjoyed finding, putting these notes together, so I hope you guys enjoy it too. So, but let me just get right into this. The church is a hospital, and, it's for those that are spiritually weak or spiritually sick, for those that are coming in off the streets or coming in from different facets of life, and the church is a place where you can get strengthened and healed, and it's just like a hospital. And the way to get better is you got to go to the hospital. You can't just leave it be. You got to do something about your weakness or the, you know, your hurts and pains. And so it's the church's responsibility, and especially the pastor's responsibility as well, to ensure that the church, or the hospital in this case, in this analogy, is in a state where they can accept new patients or help them out. And the church slash hospital, I guess, needs to be clean and sanitary and well-maintained. And if not, it's very hard for new converts to grow. But a healthy church such as ours, where it is a place where new converts and also weak saints of God can receive the help and strength that they desperately need. But the only way you can receive this help, and especially as a new convert, or if you're just weak, is just to attend church regularly, is just to keep on coming. And I know it's a hard transition when you're first getting in to church. It's making that transition of having different things going on in your life and making the church the center of your life, making, going to church, you know, just your you know, that's what you're going to do on Sundays, is to go to church, and switching to that and getting a revelation and an understanding of the importance of doing this is so imperative. And you will solve so many of your issues as a new convert, and if you're weak in the Lord, it's so many problems can be helped and assuaged by just going to church, by just attending church regularly, because it gives you the opportunity to get help. It gives you an opportunity to get healed, to get strengthened. If you're feeling weak, it's a great place to feel strengthened. And, you know, the Bible does say to encourage yourself in the Lord, but sometimes we just don't have it in ourselves to do that. Sometimes you're going to get into a trial. You're going to get into a situation where it's just going to be hard to pray, and it's going to be hard to pray for yourself. You're just down and out, and everyone gets there. It doesn't matter where you are in life, and you just need to go to church and feel the presence of God, that other people are getting the anointing stirred, and you have other leaders and other preachers that are able to speak to you. Even that's why, you know, pastors and preachers will go to different conferences, because they need to be strengthened. They need to be preached to. And so how much more for us saints of God, and for those of us coming into the church, how important it is for us to go to church, and for times that we're not able to take care of ourselves in a spiritual sense, how much more is it for us to, you know, go to church regularly and to give us that opportunity to be able to get a hold of God and to touch God. So attending church is very, very important, and attending church regularly. And so I'm going to kind of really go into that aspect and concept of attending church regularly and how important it is. And I'm going to go to the New Testament and the Old Testament too, to demonstrate that this isn't just some new concept that we're coming up with, but it's in fact throughout the Word of God. And, you know, we know that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster to the New Testament. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching." So, you know, this is the scripture I was talking about when I first, you know, was given the subject to talk about, that we can all quote, you know, the scripture, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." But, you know, I think there's just so much more in the Word of God. You know, I was able to quote that, and I just figured as soon as I got the subject, I was like, okay, well, that's, you know, I guess that'll be the center of, you know, my lesson tonight. But, you know, as I started digging in through, there's so much more that we can really start getting into. But this is an important concept and an important principle in the Word of God, that we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, even during, especially during these hard times, during coronavirus, people are feeling lonely. You know, some people are struggling working from home. I'm actually thoroughly enjoying it, because I don't have to get up early, and I don't have to drive anywhere. You know, I can roll out of bed and hop right on my computer and get some work done. But the thing is, I have the fellowship of the church, and I go to church. You know, we go to church on Wednesday nights. We go to church on Sundays. And we're fellowshipping with one another throughout the week. And so, you know, I'm getting the fellowship that I need, that many people don't have in the world. And that's a benefit in living for God, is the fellowship that you get from the people of God. And you can just see how important it is, especially during these times when people are not hanging out with their families, their extended family, their friends. You know, we have the church that we can go to, and just seeing the saints one another, you can see the power in this scripture. This scripture has meant so much more during these times of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So this is a mandate in the Word of God that we have to meet for church. This is, you know, an absolute command that we have to meet for church. But this concept is foreshadowed of the importance of attending church regularly and how important the church should be to the believer is foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter number 2, verse number 17 says, "Then the tent of meet of," this is in the NIV version, by the way. It makes it really clear for this. The wording in the King James is a little bit different than what we would use nowadays. So I think this is this kind of helps us understand exactly what took place back then. So Numbers chapter 2, verse number 17 says, "Then the tent of the meeting, and the camp of the Levites will set out in the middle of the camps. They will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in their own place under their standard." I want to repeat the first part there. "Then the tent of meeting," or the tabernacle, "and the camp of the Levites will set out in the middle of the camps." Now, when the children of Israel were making their way from Egypt, where they escaped slavery and bondage, they would set up the tabernacle in their camp. The tabernacle was a portable place where they would worship God. It was used starting a year after they crossed the Red Sea until the first temple was built, the first permanent temple was built by King Solomon. So for about 400 years, they used this this portable place or tent that was their church, that was their place of worship. And the tabernacle was the place where they would make sacrifices and where the Ark of the Covenant was held. And then interesting enough, I found this very interesting, that the word tabernacle means place of meeting or tent of meeting. So it's kind of like what we're doing today with our tent in our parking lot. That's our tabernacle. And that's where we're a place of meeting where we're meeting with God. But this is exactly where the children of Israel would worship. But the scripture that I read in Numbers chapter 2, verse number 17, says that the tent of meeting or the tabernacle and the camp of the Levites was set out in the middle of the camps. So the tabernacle, or their church at their time, was directly in the center of the camp, and everyone would have to set their tents and where they were living with their families around the center, and they would just, you know, expand from there. So they'd have the first row and so on and so forth. But the tabernacle was directly in the center of their camp. So the concept of the church being the center of our life was not a new concept in the New Testament, assembling of ourselves together. It wasn't a new concept, but it was an old concept back in the Old Testament, where church or the worship of God was the center of everyone's lives. And so it's just symbolic to how the house of God, how the church needs to be the center of our lives. And so we can see this again if we were to flip back to the New Testament. And Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, this again is a very common scripture, if you've been in church any length of time, says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So whereas in the Old Testament, where the tabernacle was in the center of the camp, the center of all the people of Israel, it was a physical entity that represented putting God at the center of their life. But now, according to this scripture saying, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," this is now in the New Testament, now where we're at in this time period, we need to put our spiritual relationship with God, we need to put that first and center of our lives. And so you can see in the New Testament, it's telling us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You see in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, that you know, the tabernacle, the place of worship, was the center of their lives. And then now in the New Testament, Jesus is telling us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you can see, you know, it's a switch from a physical thing to a symbolic thing. But, you know, the book of Hebrews brings us back to saying, you know, we still need to assemble together. So it's not just, you know, you can't just sit in your room and pray. You know, those people that say, you know, I'm a spiritual person, but I don't go to church. You know, the book of Hebrews says that you can't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So, you know, you need to go to church, but you also need to put God first in your life. So it's a spiritual thing, but we also need to put, you know, a little bit of physicality in it and go to church. But the last thing that I want to, you know, go back to in the Old Testament, flipping back again now to the Old Testament. And again, you know, I like to really, when I teach lessons or anything like that, I like to really show that concepts, you know, are both in the New and Old Testament, that it's not just, you know, one scripture in the New Testament that we're cherry picking, or one scripture in the Old Testament that we're cherry picking, but, you know, the Word of God is line upon line, precept upon precept. So, and that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster to the New Testament. So, I like to really try to do that, which is why I like to flip back and forth. So, you know, one last, you know, story that I would like to go over to kind of make this point in the importance of a church home and the importance of going to church regularly, the importance of making church the center of our lives, or God the center of our lives, is the book of Ruth is a great example of how to make God the center of your life. It is a story about two Gentile Moabite young ladies named Ruth and Orpah. So these were not part of the people of God. These are, you know, what you would say that they technically, I guess they weren't saved, I guess is the best way of putting it. So imagine that they were non-believers, I guess, nowadays. They married two Judean boys. So they married, they married the people of God. They married into kind of the church a little bit, I guess. And their mom was named Naomi. And Naomi and her family moved to Moab during a famine. And after a while, all three of these ladies, their husbands die. So Naomi's the mother-in-law to these two Moabite ladies. Her husband dies, and then these two young ladies, their husbands die. So now Naomi's two boys died, and so Naomi wants to go back to their homeland in Bethlehem and tells her daughter-in-laws, you know what, just stay in the land of Moab where your families are from, and just stay here. I'm gonna go on and move back to where I am. You know, she was heartbroken, and she was just so, she was depressed and all that. You can read it. It's a great story. It's a small book. It's one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. It's such a cool, neat story, but I'm giving you a really high-level overview. So Naomi tells her two daughter-in-laws to stay there in Moab while she goes back to Bethlehem. So Orpah stays. She cries a little bit, and she stays. But Ruth, she says something so profound. And Ruth, chapter number 1, verse number 16, the Bible says that, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, so or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. So if you go, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. So wherever you stay, I'm going to stay. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. So your people, Naomi, your people from Bethlehem, the people of God, they're going to be my people. And your God, Naomi, is going to be my God. So this is a pagan, this is a young lady from a pagan background in Moab. And she's telling Naomi that there's something about you, and I want your people to be my people, and your God to be my God. So by putting God first in her life, Ruth went back, or what Ruth followed Naomi to Bethlehem, but being that they were widows, they were at the lowest social class or economic class in Israel, or, you know, in Judea. And, you know, she was actually, you know, she was found, you know, gleaning the corners of the farmlands and picking up crops where all the poor people and beggars would grab extra crops that were left over during the harvest. And so Boaz, who was a wealthy landowner in Bethlehem, spotted her, and they ended up getting married. And, you know, it's a beautiful story of a rags-to-riches story, and of course, the spiritual aspect of Ruth coming from a pagan background to now being part of the people of God, being spotted by a wealthy landowner after being, you know, essentially a beggar, essentially almost pretty much being homeless at this point. And so then she's being blessed of God by being married, you know, by finding, you know, this man named Boaz finding her and seeing her, you know, who is a wealthy landowner, and completely changing her life and changing Naomi's life in the meantime too, because, you know, Naomi was, you know, blessed by this. And so beyond just the financial security that she gained, this is the most beautiful part of the story, is that Ruth and Boaz, they became, or, you know, their children and then their grandchildren. So her grandson, their grandson, was King David, which also means that they were part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. So by putting God at the center of her life, and by making that decision of saying, you know, your God is going to be my God, Naomi, it had just beyond, you know, just the financial security that she was able to gain, the blessings in that part, but she was able to have a part in the Messiah, and that, and beyond, and also too, you know, having a grandchild who was known as the greatest king in Israel, in King David. So such a beautiful story, but it just shows you what happens when you make God first in your life. And when you make God first in your life, obviously you're going to make church the center of your life. And there's just so many blessings that come with it. Spiritual strength, fellowship, you know, the financial blessings, of course, too. But above all, it is one of the easiest things that you can do to ensure that you make it to heaven. It just allows you and provides you the opportunity to be able to get a touch from God when you can't touch God yourself, when you can't pray anymore at home, when you can't, you really can't just change your situation. You're just down in the dumps. But when you can go into church and you go into a good service, a red hot service, and you see people worshiping God, you see the people worshiping God, just attending church gives you the opportunity that you wouldn't have to be able to get a touch from God, and it's able to, and beyond that too, you know, as you grow in Christ, as you grow in the Lord, you know, there's going to come a time when you may get discouraged, you may find yourself start slipping in things that you may not have ever thought you would start slipping in, and you may be going back to your old ways, but if you can just keep going to church, it's going to give you that opportunity to be able to make things right with God. And so I want to encourage you, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, you know, things will come your way, trials will come your way, temptations will come your way, but if you can just make up in your mind to keep going to church, make it to every service that you can, and just make it a point, let your family know if you got family coming in from out of town that I've got to go to church, I've got to go to church, and it's not to be weird or anything like that, but it's just the importance of knowing that you can get something from God. It's like that old song that says, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And, you know, sometimes we're going to be down in the dumps, and all you can do is just touch Jesus, and that's what's all going to matter in your life during those times. So I just want to encourage you, no matter what's going on in your life, if you can just get to the house of God, sometimes just getting to the church, getting to that house of God, is you know, just a battle in of itself. But if you can just make it and get encouraged, hear the preaching of the word, it's going to give you a chance. If you're in a bad place with God and you need to repent, still just go to church, and it gives you that opportunity to repent and to make things right with God. So I just want to encourage you. You know, if you're weak and you're struggling, just get to the church. If you're a new convert, just make up in your mind, you've got to make the house of God the center of your life, and just, you know, get involved with anything that you possibly can, whether it be helping clean up, whether it be, you know, anything, just get involved in something, because when you're involved in, with, you know, the house of God, you're finding a purpose in your life. You're fulfilling the purpose of God in your life by helping out the house of God and getting a burden for the house of God. And that's, you know, you get connected, you build relationships with other people that are helping out with the house of God, and you can start working with those people and trusting those people and praying with those people. The Bible says to know them that labor among you. So, you know, as you get, you know, into church and you get involved, you start fellowshipping with one another, and there's no better way to fellowship with one another than there is to start working on things at the church, whether it be cleaning up or little projects here and there. There's always stuff that needs to be done at the church. So just get involved and make the church and make God the center of your life. And that's all I have for you tonight. And I hope this was encouraging and helpful to somebody here tonight.
Thank you, Brother Sean Thaler. What a tremendous lesson tonight, a church home, and how important this lesson was. You know, some of these points may have sounded so simplistic and so basic. One of the most important things that we need to do, not we should do, church, but we need to do, is continue to come to the house of God. Don't stop coming to the house of God. We are building a foundation by consistently and faithfully coming to the house of God. We're doing more good by doing that as a new convert. And I really appreciate that one of the final comments that Brother Sean made, which is make the church and make God the center of your life. Praise God. Well, with that said, we want to remind everyone about our morning manna devotion tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. Brother Jackson will be sharing another great testimony with us tomorrow morning. We look forward to having everyone on that call. God bless all of you and have a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.